Hey everybody, this is Slim, also known as Kyle Kuckelman, and we are glad you are here for another Ramblings of Beef and Slim. This week is kind of an odd week with it being Christmas. The three of us had a hard time getting together and fitting in our schedule to record all together, so instead we decided we would record individually and post all one big podcast. So this is our Christmas podcast, and you're first going to hear from Father Adam, and then you'll hear from myself, and then you'll hear from Kevin. And we're really excited, and we hope you have a great Christmas and happy holidays. God bless.
Welcome to the Ramblings of Beef and Slim, your weekly companion to help you unpack the Catholic Mass readings and discuss how the Word helps you know your God.
You have had an amazing and wonderful Advent season, and it is coming quickly to an end. And as I'm sure Kyle has told you by now, we are all going to spend just a few minutes going through a reflection on the gift of Christmas and the way that we view it. And there's a couple reasons why we're doing this one. We couldn't get together. Of course, I blame Kyle for that. As you know by now, everything is his fault. But also, I think there's a certain beauty in this because this mystery is an amazing one. It's one of the few days throughout the year that the church has a plethora of options for readings for any given day. And so there are four different masses that can be celebrated for Christmas. There's the Vigil Mass, which would be like your Christmas Eve, Mass at night, so your midnight Mass, Mass at dawn, which I believe is self-explanatory, and then Mass during the day. And part of this is because this mystery is very difficult for us to wrap our minds around, that God himself would take on flesh, would become one of us, would live our life and die our death. And so I think us three taking our different opportunity to pause and reflect on this is a good opportunity to sort of dance around the mystery that is Christmas. And my focus on this, and if you listen to my homilies, you will probably get a good taste of this, because I think this is where I'm going to go with my Christmas homily, is the negation of the idea that religion, but in particular Catholicism, is one who limits the life of a person or tells them that they can't do things, and it's something that oppresses the human being. I think that's very much counter what we celebrate in our Christmas mystery and what we live in our faith. And so in essence, what we have at Christmas is God himself, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, leaving behind the glories of heaven to take on our humanity. And he comes down and he lives as one of us. And we've talked about this on the podcast many, many times, but Jesus is truly God. He is truly man. And when he comes into human history, he does so completely humbled. He does so to a, I guess, quote-unquote middle-class family. His father was a laborer. His mother was just a simple woman. And when they're born, when he is born, he's got to be fleeing for his life from the very first moments and has someone desiring to kill him. And as he continues in his life, we assume that he would have had a similar, just average lifestyle of any Jewish boy at the time. And then when he starts his public ministry, he goes out and we're told at one point that he doesn't have a place to lay his head, that he's perpetually on the go. And so what we see in this is the fact that God himself loves us so much that he comes after us, that he pursues us, that he dedicates the entirety of his life, especially in that public ministry, those 3 years of intense work, to searching for us, to seeking us. Think of the lost sheep, the lost coin, those great parables. He's the one who is searching for those who have lost their way, those who no longer go in the right direction. And he comes so that he can draw them closer to him. And in doing so, he raises us up. Look at what he does to the apostles. He calls these men who work the second shift or work the night shift. That's what fishermen did. Worked overnight when the waters were quieter, when there was less noise, and they would work until the dawn. We see several accounts of that in the gospel. And he draws them into his ministry, and he has them be the ones who continue his ministry after he dies, after he resurrects, and after he ascends to the Father, starting at Pentecost. And so our God loves us so much, and we see this from the beginning of creation, that he loves us so much that he wants to share in his creative act. He does that with Adam and Eve, and the great desire for them to share, or he sees it with Adam, of naming the animals. He tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, to continue his creative act. That's a special role that married couples have. And so our God, in his pursuit of us, isn't trying to hold us down. He isn't trying to beat us down. He's trying to elevate us. He's trying to raise us up. And when we share in his mission, we in a very real way get an opportunity to share in his divinity. And this is a mystery that we've talked about several times as well. And we see it in a very concrete way in ministerial priest, where I am able to celebrate the Mass, I'm able to hear confessions and absolve sins. I stand there as one who witnesses marriages, prepares people for death, or help them with the sacrament of the sick, the holy anointing. And so I get a very beautiful and specific share in Christ's ministry and the divine life. But every one of us gets that opportunity in many different ways as well. Anytime a loved one forgives somebody who has wronged them, or anytime that we reach out to the poor, anytime that we open the door for somebody who has their hands full, it's a share in the divine life of God. And we, I don't think, ponder that mystery enough. And I think this Christmas season is a time to look at the ordinariness of our life and to see how beautiful it can be, how extraordinary it can be. That the little babe, Christ, sat in a manger, as did every other child at the time. And that it's in those seemingly small, seemingly mundane ways that we live our life, that God is able to do amazing and wonderful things, and that we're called to share in that. And that eventually when we make it to heaven, if we so choose to live our life in accord with God's will, and we receive his love, and we're transformed, we will be able to enter into his presence for all of eternity. I think one of the things I'm going to put into my Christmas homily, maybe it's the beginning point, is actually it's a prayer that said sub voce, under the voice, by the priest or the deacon at the Mass. So it's when the water and the wine are being mixed. The water or the wine has been poured into the chalice, and just a little bit of water is poured in there. And it's by the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. And I think it does a beautiful job of drawing out the mystery of what it means to be a Christian, of being a follower of Christ. That because he came down, because he became a human being, and then eventually offered his life and sacrifice for us, we are able to be transformed. We are able to be made whole. We are able to be reconciled with one another, with God. That's something worth pondering in this Christmas season. And along with that, I think my note for my parishioners, and especially our guests, and especially those who don't come to Mass as often as they should, is the fact that we are family. And by the virtue of our baptism, we've talked about this as well, we are made sons and daughters of God the Father. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And an indelible mark is placed on our soul at the moment of our baptism for all of eternity to say that we fit into this role in relationship with God. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how far we run. It doesn't matter where we go. God will always welcome us back. He will always bring us back into his fold. All we have to do is say we are sorry and reaffirm our faith in God. And he will start to reconcile us. He will start to bring us in. And so I encourage any of those who are listening to reach out to maybe that person in your life who hasn't been to Mass and you know will be there. Those people who are going to be stealing your pews and stealing your parking spots and making Christmas Eve Mass, especially if you tend to go to the first one, a little more hectic and chaotic than you're used to. It can be an opportunity for us to get upset, to become grumpy, as I told my parishioners. But don't be grumpy. Use it as an opportunity to show the love of your brothers or your sisters who are lost, who don't receive God's love as often as they should. And why don't you share in his divine ministry, his divine mystery of showing that love and do something God-like, of inviting them into a deeper relationship with our God. It all starts, well, at the Annunciation, but then we get a taste of, we get to see our Lord for the first time at Christmas. It begins his trajectory to where he will lay down his life at Calvary, But Christmas is a beautiful time to look at ourselves and to see the gifts that God has given us and the way in which we share in it. And so I pray that all those who listen to us regularly, give us feedback and support us in our ministry here, we'll have a beautiful and blessed and fruitful Christmas season. And know that Christmas Day starts the party. Celebrate well for 2 good weeks afterwards. And just soak in the goodness that God has to offer you. And then make sure that you offer that to whoever you can. It's too good of a time to not invite others into relationship with God. Our celebration is the best part of our faith. And that's what we will be doing in heaven for all of eternity. So use that as a vehicle to invite other people into this relationship with God. Or to re-strengthen it or renew it and get themselves back on track. So have a wonderful Christmas. Take care. God bless.
Hey, everybody. This is Slim, also known as Kyle Kuckelman, recording our Christmas podcast by myself, which is kind of weird, but very excited for this. So mine's going to be very short and sweet. I really just wanted to focus on the gospel from Luke chapter 2, 15 through 20. And I've been just struck for the past couple weeks, this idea of God proclaiming to the shepherds, and the shepherds being the first proclaimers of the good news. I just keep reflecting on how big of a deal it is that God chose shepherds to announce the good news. That at the time, these shepherds were the lowest of the low, the very low class. They were dirty. They were untrusted. And yet God continues to choose the unworthy, the unrespected, the low. And I keep thinking in my own life, like how much that has happened in my own life, that God, you know, chose me to work at this church and work with the youth, and how honored I am. I think it's interesting in this gospel where the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, and then they immediately said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem." So they went and they found Mary, Joseph, and the infant lying in the manger. They shared the message, and then they went home. They went back glorifying and praising God. And I always think in my own life, like, am I doing that? Am I immediately responding to God, going to do the mission that He sent me on? And then when I'm done with that mission, am I glad that I've done it? Am I glorifying and praising Him? Or, and this is probably the more realistic, I'm more glorifying and praising me. And look at what I've done. Look at what I can do. Look at how good I am. Rather than glorifying and praising God. This Christmas is going to be a great Christmas. And I'm praying for each one of you guys. And I know Kevin and Father are as well. We hope that you have a great Christmas. Be with family. Love the ones that are hardest to love in your family. If you're anything like me, you got family members that usually Christmas reminds you why you don't love them. Do something different this year. Hope you guys all have a great Christmas. Praying for you guys, and God bless.
Well, hello, friends. It is Kevin Bailey, the Rambling Ampersand. The newest member of the Ramblings of Beef and Slim. I'm so excited to be here with you guys and with this awesome idea that Father and Andrew, Father Adam, has come up with for this special Christmas podcast that we're doing. I have no idea what Kyle did for his segment or Father Adam did for his segment, but I'm going to trust that all of our reflections and ideas are different, and I'm going to trust that this makes sense because I forgot to record it, so it's 11:20 at night, and I got 11% battery left in my computer. But I think that's really reflective of our lives this Advent season. So many times we come into Christmas, and we are rounding third base. We're sprinting towards home, and we've been sprinting around the bases the whole time. And there's no slowing down in our life. Everything is just like, oh my gosh, Christmas is now days away, and I've got to cram an entire Advent into these last few days, this entire experience of preparation. I think that's always been a challenge for me, is that I've always wanted to do Advent so well, and I've never had an experience of preparing well for Christmas. And that's always really bothered me. Because every year I wanna prepare anew for Jesus' coming. And I think the big struggle is that I don't know what a good Advent looks like. And maybe you feel the same way. Like, how do we define what a good Advent looks like? You know, I feel like a lot of other times in our life, we have a really clear expectation and definition of what doing something well looks like. But when it comes to Advent, it can get lost in the mix. And you know, what's crazy is that that's okay. Because how can we really prepare for the coming of God? Like, on so many levels, everything that we do or try or think is like, this is what it means to prepare for Jesus, is ultimately going to fall short of his glory. Like, you know, in the Old Testament and in the reading for Sunday, it talks about how Jesus came and Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth and fulfilled everything. And like, you know, we're like Moses. Like, we can only bring a little piece of it, but it's Jesus who brings the fullness and the power. And, you know, I'm excited because I don't know what reflection or what gospel you're going to be hearing or what readings you're going to be hearing. But I know what you're going to be celebrating. I know that you're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. And, you know, one of the best reflections that I've had and the best experience that I had this Advent is I was staring at a nativity scene in our house. I was in my prayer time. Oh, pardon my yawns. I was in my prayer time. And I kept looking at the icons we have of Jesus and Mary and at the cross in our living room. And I was just really struggling to capture, you know, a spirit of prayer that night. And I glanced over at the nativity scene, and I was just struck in our nativity scene about how all the characters are, like, staring at this one spot. Like, our eyes are all drawn to that center point because Mary's eyes are, her body is pointing downward, Joseph is looking downward, the angel is, like, got its arms spread out, but it's still, like, eyes downward. The shepherd, the wise men, everyone, we put our wise men out early, is looking downward. And it's weird because I looked at that spot and there was nothing there. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. Like, Jesus isn't in the nativity scene yet. And I was just struck by how strange the nativity scene looked without Jesus. How empty it seemed without his presence there. That these people were literally staring at nothing so intently. And I thought, how similar our lives must be when Jesus is not at the center. Like, our lives are called to bring forth Jesus. And when we don't, we're like a bunch of statues staring at empty space. Instead of gazing in awe and wonder at our God and our Creator. And that really shook me. And as I continued to reflect on it, I even realized that, like, you know, they were so representative of, you know, the entire history of Israel. Like, these seven characters in my nativity scene represented thousands of years of Israelites waiting for this one moment when the Messiah would come, when he would enter into humanity. And even then, everyone, you know, in the future now that is looking back on this one moment, waiting, anticipating this great day when Christ is born into the world, when God comes and takes on our humanity and our sinfulness. And it just blew me away. Like, that this one moment was so vital and integral and powerful. This one moment gave birth to this man who has affected humanity unlike any other. And I was left with this question. You know, just as Mary brought Jesus into the world and God became man and entered the world at this moment. How is Jesus trying to be birthed into the world through me today? How is my life meant to give birth to Jesus to those around them, to those around me? In what way is he trying to enter the world through my life and my actions and my words? This Christmas season, how can I be a witness to his birth? How is he calling me to say yes, as Mary said yes? And so I invite you to reflect on that this Christmas season. I thank you for being a listener, for being with us week in and week out, and enduring our many ramblings and reflections. And I wish you and your families a very merry and blessed Christmas. Thank you. Peace and God bless.
Thank you guys for your time. Have a great Christmas. And check us out next week for our New Year's podcast. We'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Very Good Web Solutions. With their innovative design and top-tier customer service, Very Good is leading the charge on website design. Go to verygoodwebsolutions.com today to see their prices and products.